Chapter 50, Ezra, the King's Trusted Friend. About 70 years after the return of the first exiles, Artaxerxes Longimanus came to the throne of Medo-Persia. During his reign, Ezra and Nehemiah lived and labored. In 457 BC he issued the third decree for the restoration of Jerusalem. During his long rule he often showed favor to God's people, and in his trusted Jewish friends, Ezra and Nehemiah, he recognized men of God's appointment. Ezra, living among the Jews who remained in Babylon, attracted the favorable notice of King Artaxerxes, with whom he talked freely regarding the power of God and the divine purpose in restoring the Jews to Jerusalem. Ezra had been given priestly training, and in addition had acquired familiarity with the writings of the wise men of the Medo-Persian realm. But he was not satisfied with his spiritual condition. He longed to be in full harmony with God. And so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it. This led him to search the books of the Bible to learn why the Lord had permitted Jerusalem to be destroyed and his people carried captive into a heathen land. Ezra studies to show himself approved. Ezra studied the promise made to Abraham and the instruction given at Mount Sinai and through the wilderness wandering. Ezra's heart was stirred, and he experienced a thorough conversion. As he learned to yield his mind and will to divine control, there were brought into his life the principles of true sanctification. In later years, these had a molding influence upon all associated with him. God chose Ezra that he might put honor upon the priesthood, the glory of which had been eclipsed during the captivity. Ezra developed into a man of extraordinary learning and became skilled in the law of Moses. RSV. These qualifications made him an eminent man in the kingdom. Ezra becomes a mouthpiece for the Lord. During the remaining years of his life, whether near the court of Medo-Persia or at Jerusalem, he communicated to others the truths he learned. He was the Lord's witness to the world of the power of Bible truth to ennoble daily life. The efforts of Ezra to revive interest in the study of the scriptures were given permanency by his painstaking, lifelong work of preserving and multiplying the sacred writings. He gathered all the copies he could find and had these transcribed and distributed. The pure word, placed in the hands of many people, gave knowledge that was of inestimable value. Ezra's faith led him to tell Artaxerxes of his desire to return to Jerusalem to assist his brethren in restoring the holy city. As he declared his perfect trust in God, the king was deeply impressed. So great was his confidence in Ezra that he granted his request, bestowing on him rich gifts for the temple, and conferring on him extensive powers for carrying out the purposes in his heart. The third decree makes complete provision. The decree of Artaxerxes for restoring and building Jerusalem, the third since the close of the 70 years captivity, is remarkable for its expressions regarding the God of heaven and for the liberality of the grants to the people of God. The king offered freely unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and he made provision for meeting many heavy expenses out of the king's treasure house. Thou art sent of the king, Artaxerxes declared to Ezra, to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. Artaxerxes arranged for the restoration of the members of the priesthood to their ancient privileges. It shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. He also arranged for civil officers to govern the people. Thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, that is in thine hand, he directed, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. Thus Ezra had persuaded the king to make provision for the return of all the people of Israel and of the priests and Levites in the Medo-Persian realm, who were minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem. This decree brought great rejoicing to those who had been studying with Ezra God's purposes concerning his people. "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers," Ezra exclaimed, "which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart." God's providence manifest in Artaxerxes' decree. In this decree by Artaxerxes, God's providence was manifest. Some discerned this and gladly took advantage of the privilege of returning under circumstances so favorable. A general place of meeting was named, and at the appointed time those going to Jerusalem assembled for the long journey. But the number who responded was disappointingly small. Many who had acquired houses and lands were satisfied to remain. Their example proved a hindrance to others who might have chosen to advance by faith. As Ezra looked over the company assembled, he was surprised to find none of the sons of Levi, the tribe set apart for the service of the temple. The Levites should have been the first to respond. During the captivity, they had enjoyed liberty to minister to their brethren in exile. Synagogues had been built, the priests conducted the worship of God and instructed the people. Observance of the Sabbath had been freely allowed. But after the close of the captivity, conditions changed. The temple at Jerusalem had been rebuilt and dedicated, and more priests were needed as teachers of the people. Besides, the Jews in Babylon were in danger of having their religious liberty restricted. During the troublous times of Esther and Mordecai, the Jews in Medo-Persia had been plainly warned to return to their own land. It was perilous for them to dwell longer in the midst of heathen influences. In view of these changed conditions, the priests in Babylon should have been quick to discern in the decree a special call to return to Jerusalem. The king and his princes had provided abundant means, but where were the sons of Levi? A decision to accompany their brethren would have led others to follow their example. Their strange indifference is a sad revelation of the attitude of the Israelites in Babylon toward God's purpose for his people. Once more Ezra sent the Levites an urgent invitation to unite with his company. Trusted messengers hastened with the plea, "Bring unto us ministers for the house of our God." Some who had been halting decided to return. In all, about 40 priests and 220 ministers, teachers, and helpers were brought to the camp. All were now ready. Before them was a journey of several months. The men were taking their wives and children, their substance, and treasure for the temple. Enemies lay in wait, ready to plunder and destroy Ezra and his company, yet he had asked from the king no armed force for protection. "I was ashamed," he explained, "to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, 'The hand of our God is for good upon all that seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all that forsake him.'" RSV. They therefore determined to put their trust wholly in God. They would ask for no soldiers. They would not arouse in the minds of their heathen friends one doubt as to the sincerity of their dependence on God. Strength would be gained not through the power of men, but through the favor of God. Only by striving to obey the law of the Lord would they be protected. This knowledge lent solemnity to the consecration service held by Ezra and his company just before their departure. "I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of Ahavah," Ezra declared, "that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Only the trustworthy are chosen. The blessing of God, however, did not make unnecessary the exercise of prudence and forethought. In safeguarding the treasure, Ezra separated 12 of the chief of the priests, and weighed unto them the silver, and the gold, and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God. These men were solemnly charged to act as vigilant stewards over the treasure. "Guard them and keep them until you weigh them before the chief priests and the Levites and the heads of fathers' houses in Israel at Jerusalem." RSV. Only those whose trustworthiness had been proved were chosen. Ezra recognized the necessity of order and organization in the work of God. We departed, Ezra writes, on the 12th day of the first month, to go on to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. About 4 months were occupied on the journey. Their enemies were restrained from harming them, and on the first day of the fifth month, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, they reached Jerusalem.